Blog Talk Radio.
There must be lights burning brighter somewhere. Got to be birds flying higher in a sky more blue. If I can dream of a better land where all my brothers walk hand in hand, tell me why, oh why, oh why can't my dream come true? Oh why? There must be peace and understanding sometime. Strong winds of promise that will blow away all the doubt and fear. If I can dream of a warmer sun where hope keeps shining on everyone, tell me why, oh why, oh why won't that sun appear?
Good evening. Hi, it's Marcia Cook, and it's A Good Story is a Good Story, World of Ink. And we have a great show lined up. We have Boku authors, and we have a lively crowd. I can tell that tonight. We're going to have fun. And let's see. I think I'll give a few little announcements before we begin, and then I can forget about them. Let's see. Okay. Let's see. There's no show tomorrow, but Thursday, Fran Lewis has a show with Carolyn Eggers, and that is at 4 Eastern. She's a New York best-selling author, and the show will be about an hour. And then we have... Next week, I have another Boku show. And Virginia will not be on this week, I don't think, because her kids are on vacation. And we did a show yesterday, Virginia and I, and if you haven't heard it, it was really good. It was Doreen Taylor was on, and we were approached by her PR firm, and she's a songwriter, singer, and she's great. It was fun. And we're posting some things out about her. She was just great. And that was a whole different show. We've not really done that, you know, but she's a songwriter, and she explains, because I know a lot of people want to write music, and she was explaining what goes with that. It's not only just writing the music, the lyricist, you need the director, everything. So it was very interesting, and she was a great guest. So I think she'll probably come on again. And let's see, I think that's about it for right now. We have four very fun guests, and they are all with Boku. We have Lynn Croft, we have Lauren Blake Reese, Aurora Zahani, and Rebecca Lindsay. And we're going to talk about young adult and children's books, but if they've had other books before, we can talk about that too. And it's a tough market, the children's, and Boku is being very brave to bring out some very good children's authors, and I think it's a great thing because a lot of the small publishing houses have just not been doing children's books. So it's great that they're doing it, and my four books are going with Boku, and I think it's great for children's writers because it's been tough the last few years, and Virginia Grenier and myself from World Inc., we will be doing more children's shows because actually both of us are children's authors, among other things, and I think that, you know, by putting kids love to read. They love when you go to schools. They enjoy new authors. So I'm so happy that we're going to be having that, you know, and they are taking submissions. So if people are listening, because they are, even if you've had a book published and it's a children's book and you're not with a publishing house right now, they're looking. And among other things. So it's Boku LLC Publishing. Okay. And let's see. All right. You know what? Rebecca? Hi, Rebecca.
Yes.
Hi. Maybe you just, all right, I'm just going to let everybody come out. You know, everybody can say what they did and everything, and then we'll all talk together and they can read. You can all read excerpts. So, Rebecca, tell everybody about yourself.
Well, I'm Rebecca Lindsay, and I live in West Virginia. I'm married. I have two cats, and I'm an elementary school teacher. I write the children's books, and I'm very thankful that somebody took me on. I'm also the illustrator of my book, so I'm very excited about that. My first book, World of Color, came out, and then my second one, Imagination Destination, just came out this week, so I'm very, very thrilled about it.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's really exciting. And, you know, I mean, yeah, it is good because it's very nice to be out there. And, children's books, I mean, they're always going to need children's books. It's not anything that's going away.
Oh, of course.
So I'm glad that...
so many books at school.
Yeah. Yeah, you right. And so that's a good thing that, you know, a lot of the people that we've always had on the show, they are actually teachers and librarians, you know, that have written children's books. Okay, Aurora, you want to, or Ori, you want to say, come out and say hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Hi, I'm Aurora Zani, as you figured out. Aurora is not my real name.
Okay.
It's a pen name that I took after my grandmother, who was beloved to me. And I'm from New Jersey, and I just put out my first young adult book, Ellie Stanton. Would like to thank you from the bottom of her heart. And not much more to me besides that.
Okay, that's great. Okay, and Lauren?
Yes, hello.
Okay, hi. do you want to just say a little bit about yourself?
My name is Lauren Reese. I was born and raised in Shreveport, Louisiana. I'm actually a fantasy young adult fiction writer, I guess you could say, in a sense. I just published my first book of the children's series, Child of the Moonlit Leaves, that came out in December of this past year. And I'm currently working on the second book of the children's series, which is called Child of the Silver Cities. I've been releasing some artwork, some bits from the books, and it's been going pretty good so far. So I have a lot of projects in mind for these books.
That's
so
great.
It's coming along.
That's good. That's what we all say. Okay, Lynn?
Hello. Hi. My name is Lynn Croft, and I'm born and raised California girl. I'm a single mother. I have a full-time career as well as my writing career. I write sci-fi and paranormal romance for young adults. I am currently with Boku Publishing. My first book, Blood and Lilies, was released last November, and I just signed a contract and am in edits right now for Blood and Kindred, which is the second book in the series.
That's great. Okay. Everybody's doing very well here. You just keep going. That's the name of the game, to stay in the game, you know, and that's really important, you know, to be writing while you're doing. And it's hard. It's not easy. So, all right. We don't really talk about one thing, and I wanted to ask all of you about, because I was listening to the Pinterest. I don't know if anybody heard it yesterday. Melanie Duncan did a Pinterest. I think Barb had put it out. Did you see that about Pinterest?
No.
Anybody? Okay. Pinterest. No, you didn't? Because I think I've heard four of Melanie Duncan's, actually she's done some very good seminars, and I was wondering if anybody heard it or didn't nobody listen to it. It was really good. And is everybody on Pinterest here?
Yeah,
okay.
I am.
Had no idea how to get on Pinterest.
Because I think that that's what, one of the things that there is good for children's books and young adult especially, because you can go on there and mothers are buying, you know, their kids, you know, presents, and you know, a lot of the people there that are on Pinterest are people that are actually going to buy, and they were. I think that maybe if we can get, I don't know if I got it, but I think sometimes they resend it out. So I'll see if Melanie sent it out. But this is a good way for everybody to get out there with the Pinterest. And I thought maybe somebody had heard it, but Pinterest is a good thing for all authors, you know,
actually,
and you can. Did you go in?
No, in the past 2 days, someone was just sending me an article and explaining the importance of Pinterest. I'm not sure if it was a blog or not that I read it on, but you know, somebody posted it. I had never thought of Pinterest before now, and so I'm glad
that
you
reminded me. It's the fourth largest. I think they say it's the fourth largest social network, and it's really good for young adult and children's authors because there's just a lot of people on it, and they are buying now. It started, I think, a couple years ago, and they've really increased. Oh my God! And the pictures are beautiful, and books go on there, and movies, and style, and fashion, and just lots of different things. But a lot of different businesses are going on there. So I think, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, I try to do on the show, is to tell people what I think might be good, because I think it's hard for everybody to get out there. And even when we're with publishers, doesn't matter because you still have to, the marketing is what everybody has to keep doing, which it is hard, you know, to do. But I think Pinterest, if everybody looks at it, you know, and sees that it may be helping authors, I think it is, you know, I really think it will. So if you have that article, maybe if you send it to me, I'll put it out too, if you email it to me. Was it on a blog? The Pinterest?
I'm not. It's somewhere in my email. I even have a
okay.
attached
right.
to it
okay.
with a actually emailed
oh, okay.
my
I'll, I think I might. Maybe I'll find it.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's really good for everybody to be on. Okay. Now, a lot of times we read and a lot of times we don't, but I have a crew tonight that wants to read. So, okay. So who would like to go first? And you can read as much or as little as you want.
Ladies first.
Okay. All right, Lynn, do you want to read something?
Sure, I'll go first.
Okay.
All right, this is an excerpt out of my first book, Blood and Lilies, from the Bloodline series. The evening sky pulsed, hues of deep purples and blacks engraving blurry lines above the earth. The night echoed its cries, carried by an angry breeze through the hills of the land. The cemetery cast guarded and carved tombstones that sprouted from the ground, laid empty and dormant, except for the busy yet silent whispers of the dead. The ground, wet and damp, gave way beneath Kara's bare feet as she trudged through the mud, pushing between her toes. Her eyes traveled toward the ground to steady her soiled feet, finding her body was draped in a simple yet elegant white dress which graced her pale legs just down below her knees. The plunging neckline stopped just beneath the cleft of her breast as the thin silk straps hugged the tops of her shoulders, exposing her bare, delicate skin. She scanned around her, alone and frightened, like a young child strayed from its mother. It was so dark, and the crested moon, swarmed by the rolling, darkened clouds, offered no safe haven of light to guide her way. Slow and unsure, she stepped cautiously, waiting blindly for an edge that would send her spiraling down into a never-ending abyss, swallowing her whole. The shadows danced in front of her, playing tricks on her unfocused eyes as her feet took her step by step. Where was she? How did she get here? She could hear faint whispers of the dead crying out to her from the spirit world. Their words made no sense as they all jumbled together like a soft but unmelodic hum in the air. Her ears strained to make out the parts of the words, hoping to piece together some language she could better understand why they had brought her here. Realization struck. The voices had guided her here. She turned around to where the whispers grew louder and more needful. She followed them as they increased, vibrating through her head as if coming from inside her brain instead of the churning in the air around her. The darkness frightened her, yet she still continued, following the only guidance she had. Kara, she could hear it now through the vast echo of whispers. She could make out their name. They called to her, begged her to come. She obeyed. That's it.
Well, that's all we're going to hear now? Okay, then we're all just waiting for more.
You want more?
No. Okay. You know, all right, you want to, well, we'll say it at everybody's website again, but do you want to just, you know, where can they find your book and your website? Just and then, you know, I have an idea. I think after the show, if everybody could just email me their links, I'll put that out on my blog.
Okay.
I think we'll do it there. I really don't do that all the time, but I think I should. It's a good idea to do that because I know sometimes people, they might be, like I listen to this show sometimes after I'm in the car because you can hear it in your car if you just click on the link. So they might not have a pen. We don't want them to have an accident trying to write things down. Okay, Lynn, okay. What is your website?
You can buy my books on Amazon, and my website is www.lynncroft, LynnCroft, .boku, BEAUCOUP, LLC.com. And then you can also find me on Facebook.
Okay.
Everybody knows through Facebook.
Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. We all know Facebook. Yes, we do. Okay. All right. Okay. Aurora, you want to?
If you don't want to read, you don't have to. My throat, I actually have them picked out and stuff. My throat's not feeling great. I'm going to cough all the way through it, so I'm going to skip for now.
Okay, fine. Okay, Rebecca?
I can read some of his book.
Aw.
Do you want to? It's fine with me. How do you feel? Is that all right?
Well,
I would love that.
I think his book needs to be heard. It's that good.
Okay.
So.
Okay, all right. Okay.
How about somebody else go first?
Okay, that's good. And then, yeah, that's a good idea. Okay, great idea. Okay, Rebecca?
Well, mine are children's books, so they're not very long, but I could read a little bit from each one.
Yeah, yeah, just a little, just a little. Right, right. Because it is hard with a picture book. It's very difficult.
It is. Yes.
Would you rather not read it? You don't have to read. You don't have to.
I don't mind doing a little bit of it.
Okay, fine.
I'm just not going to read a whole lot.
Okay, all right, yeah, just read a little.
Okay, in World of Color, that's my first one. It's for ages 3 to 8, and it's a picture book, and it's a rhyming book.
Okay.
Red, orange, yellow, purple, blue, and green are just a few of the colors my eyes have seen. They're found in the water, sky, flowers, and trees, on birds, tigers, gators, and bees. What if these colors didn't exist at all? How would that affect our season of fall? And that's all I'm going to read.
Okay, that's fine.
It.
No, that's okay. Okay, all right, Lauren?
Oh, all righty, here we go.
Okay,
so I'm going to read the prologue from book one.
Okay.
Short and sweet, I like it. All right. Millennia ago, the goddesses of the land chose 5 children to bring the land together in harmony, but the goddesses made a grave mistake. When the 5 countries crossed each other's borders, acceptance was dwarfed by the fear of the unknown. The children were left questioning what they could do to thwart the first chapter of war between the 5 countries of the land. The goddess's blessed plain was left untouched. The children of the land proposed to bring the countries together as one and live at the feet of the heavens in peace to prohibit the war, but the goddesses refused. Bringing the land's inhabitants to the blessed plain could only be procured by an apocalyptic end, a choice the goddesses would not advocate. Giving the children of the land free will and incredible power led them to make their own choice. Each of them were born mortal among their own kind and terribly misunderstood by the beings who raised them as their own. The goddess's rigging of how cruel the mortal world could be to its own and how it molded 5 children apathetic to the demise of their homes. The 5 chosen children led their people south of the snowy mountains whose peaks was the edge of the sky. Each country believed that they were entitled to their new home by the children's sharp tongues, and a horrible war followed. The child of the moon smiled as he watched the lycanthorn bathe in the hot blood from the snowy mountains and cackled as more bodies dropped on the bitter ground. The daughter of the sun summoned away from the south, threatening to become the apocalyptic end the goddesses feared most. And in a wave of fire, Don Fierce locked the doors to the blessed plain and ended the first chapter of the ancient war. The children disappeared, leaving their homes oblivious to what lay past their borders. The goddesses left pieces behind, so no one would forget who the children were or when they were coming back. And that's the whole thing.
Okay, all right, okay. All right, and you're going on to more and more and more. You're just going to keep writing, right? You're going to keep going.
Oh, yes, yeah. Oh, yes, of course, yes.
All right, that's exciting. All right, okay, Lynn?
Yes.
Okay.
We're just going to start off on chapter one for the Heller Park
series. This is very exciting.
It is nice when someone else reads it. Right, right. You'll probably enjoy that. Okay, go ahead.
You
should
put
this book down. I adored it, so
okay.
We're reading because they need to hear it.
Okay, do you want to say the name of the book so we can, yeah. So, what's his book's name?
Ori.
No, the name. The name of the book.
Yeah, I was like,
the book is called Ellie Stanton.
Oh, Ori. Oh, okay. You're, okay. What was that? I was talking in the middle of it. Okay, go ahead.
The book is called Ellie Stanton, and the full title is Ellie Stanton Would Like to Thank You From the Bottom of Her Heart. No, seriously.
Okay.
All right, chapter one.
Okay.
An unremarkable and imperfect girl begins a hero's journey. Heller Park, New Jersey. 2 square miles, 4 schools, 18 bars, 38,714 people, and 0 aspirations. Main Street, River Road, Chestnut Street, city limits equals the New Jersey Turnpike. Chemically enhanced purple sunsets look over a tomato-rich middle-class content to exist. In the center of this universe, at a conveniently located CVS drugstore, stood Ellie Stanton, a short girl with a tall mouth who was being detained by an unarmed guard. "Hey, no reason to get all excited." Ellie Stanton batted her eyelashes and twirled her hair, making sure to make eye contact while taking deep, short breaths. She turned her body toward him. She'd read somewhere that doing so was comforting. Assuming she would eventually lead a life of crime, Ellie had done extensive research on the sort of things. She woke up in the morning ready to take a polygraph test. "It's just a pack of cigarettes, mister," she said, measuring his eyes. trying to get a better read on him. Security guard had a tight grip on her shoulders, so running wasn't an option. She'd have only to rely on charm and reason to get out of her mess. Oh, if I only was wearing something skimpier. I've got a room full of short skirts and low-cut shirts. Not that showing more skin on me is exciting or anything, but still, winter is stupid. She decided to try her verge of tears face. I'm really sorry, sir. Ellie paused to gulp for effect. It's not that I don't have the money. I totally do. I just don't have my ID with me. This is so embarrassing. I'm trying to quit so bad. Most of the statements were to some degree true. Ellie had several hundred dollars in the inside of her coat. She spent the better part of the last 3.5 years saving, peddling, and stealing whatever she got her hands on. Her school ID, not that it mattered, was buried in her room somewhere. The quitting part, that was a lie.
Wow.
Is that good?
Yeah. What age group is that for? What age group? We should say that.
I guess 13 to 18.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah, that's an important age group, certainly in this time of, you know, the way the internet, everything is, it's just a really important time for kids. And they are reading a lot, you know, and young adult books are, you know, they're not that, I'm sure you know, it's not that, because when you get an audience, it's very hard because, you know, that age group, it has to be something that they really like. So I think you've got a good start going there. This is good. Because I think, you know, we don't have too many young adult authors on, you know, and that we should have more, you know, because that really, it matters. That's a really important time, you know, and that's the same with children's books. These are really important times that, you know, especially with all the readers now, I think that readers, the Kindle, well, I think the kids are really reading a lot more. They, you know, and their parents, if they're busy, they don't have to go to the library. They could just read it on their, you know, because it's not like the iPad was very expensive, but now they have a lot of new ones out there.
No, I agree with you that there needs to be a lot more young adult writers. And part of the reason why I chose to write young adult specifically, I wanted to have strong female characters, because I think that teenage girls are like really grossly underrepresented in literature right now.
Yeah.
There's not a lot out there for them. I mean, and I think a lot of what is out there for them isn't the greatest stuff on earth. So that's part of why I love young adult fiction. I have my whole life. But I do think there needs to be more of it.
Yeah, I do too, you know. And I do think it is, you know, there are so many TV shows, and I think, you know, the movies, and I think it's not exactly on realistic things as well as books usually, you know, a lot of times are. And I think that kids need to read things to almost feel like they can fit in, you know, because sometimes that's one of the hardest parts of being an adult, young adult. I think it's very difficult in high school to fit in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, all right, does anybody go to schools or, you know, I mean, we talk about this a lot with the, you know, when we have children's authors on, the younger ones, because it's very hard for people to get in schools, and it's really a shame because the kids really like to meet authors. So has anybody tried to get to the schools?
I've tried to sell some cases to schools around. I've been trying to do book signings and stuff with just the local whatever.
And how is that going?
It's going all right. We have something in the works right now with a news station, but we don't know when that is going to happen.
Yeah.
And when that does happen, it's going to be really, really awesome. It's going to be cool. I'm going to be on TV.
Yeah, that's great. See, because it really is very difficult. You know, Rebecca, you're in a school, so that will be good for you.
It will be, especially around here. And I've already showed some of my students my books, and they've just gone crazy. And I've actually convinced my group, my principal and everything, and we're going to order more children's books for the iPads that we have at our school.
Yeah.
So that's going to be great.
Yeah, I think that's it is, you know, it really is important. And, you know, I didn't go last year, and I missed going, and I'm probably going to go again. But for me, it was such a great time. I loved it, and I thought I had so much fun. And they were very smart, even at, you know, kindergarten age. They, you know, I didn't realize They all sat there. I mean, they really loved it, and that's why it's such a shame. I know for a fact that they're not in Chicagoland area. It's not that easy to get in places. And a lot of the bookstores. Lynn, how about you? Are you having any success getting out there?
No, not too much.
It's very hard. What city are you in?
I'm in the city of Homeland that no one knows exists.
Okay. Right. Well, what about around Homeland? What's that we would all know?
I'm kind of like right in the middle between Palm Springs, San Diego, and Los Angeles.
Well, do they have book signings? It's very difficult. I think it's really difficult to have book signings. Several years ago, I had some book signings, and they put me at a bad time, and they didn't care if I was even there. You know, they really didn't make any big deal about it. And Walden Books, I was there, and they were so terrific, and they closed, you know, and they were wonderful. I mean, they were always having authors and caring about programs, but they're not in existence now. And there really aren't as many bookstores as there used to be,
mm-mm.
You know, and it's really, it's a shame. You know, Borders had people too. But I don't know about anybody there, but in Chicago, we have just Barnes & Noble basically is the biggest one here. And I don't think they're running to have people because it's an event, and they have to. It's very, you know, the staff is limited these days because they've all had issues. So running an event, but it means so much to people to meet authors and the authors. It means a lot to have somebody talk about. Like even all right, you just heard your book read. So did you like that? Hearing your book read.
Yes, I did.
Okay. All right. No, seriously. So
no,
that's. Yeah. Go ahead, say what you were thinking, because really, I think that it is exciting when you hear your words.
Absolutely. I mean, and it's funny, I really think that might be the first time that I've ever heard my work read out loud, unless someone was kidding and making fun of me behind me.
Right, okay. But no, honestly, that's a good thing, because, you know, that's something that doesn't happen all the time, because if you go someplace, you know, you're the one reading it. And it's not the same.
Yeah.
So I guess that's a good way. Maybe you should try that with people. Maybe if people want to come on, they could read each other's books. And that might be an interesting thing, though, because then the author can hear what it sounds like. So, Lynn, you may have come up with something for me here. You know, I'm always looking for ideas and thinking of things. And I actually do think that's not a bad idea because it can work. Because, you know, I read my things out loud, probably everybody does when they're editing, and I read out loud. But to actually hear somebody say your words.
Well, when I'm editing and revising, I'll make an audio book out of it and listen to it, because you can hear it in a different way. But it was interesting, because when Lynn was reading it, I got to hear her perception of Ellie and the way Ellie would sound and how she was thinking, and it was really entertaining. And also, by the way, Lynn, you nailed it. That's exactly the way Ellie is supposed to sound and think. Good job.
That's good.
I love Ellie. I think she's adorable. She's a firecracker.
How many pages? How many pages is that book?
I'll let Ori answer that. I have it on Kindle.
Yeah.
I think like 150 or so.
Yeah, that's a good. Oh, that's a good amount. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's good when they're there. I think it's a great. 150 is, I think, a really good, you know, amount of pages, because some people, they don't really want to read 400 pages, like me. Like me.
That's another reason why I write young adult. I can't write 180,000 words.
Well, but that's an honest thing. That's why I do screenplays, okay? And now I'm back doing books, but I love screenplays. And for me, screenplays were just so much fun because I didn't have to be descript, and I'm not as descript as I need to be. I'm getting better. And I do describe, but it doesn't come as easy as other things for me. You know, so everybody has their own.
It's easier in general, honestly. Because all you really have to worry about is the dialogue between the characters and just actually creating something off of that itself and not having to create a whole place or anything. You kind of just let the character take over the scene instead of what you think the scene should look like.
Right. You know, but
book one was actually originally a screenplay before I adapted it to a book. It took a long time.
Well, I did that too with my Love Changes. I did that too, you know, when I first started, and I did that. And, you know, it was interesting, and I must say that my book was better than my screenplay. That's what they say in a book, because you don't have as much time. You can't get to develop as much as you can when you're writing a book. You know, the one thing I would like... The one thing they need now is for young adult scripts. So, you know, Ellie Stanton might make a good script there.
Well, I describe things so sparse and so little that it's practically a screenplay as it is.
Well, that's good. Well, then that's not a bad thing, though. That's not
Lynn's book is actually quite descriptive and really paints pictures for you. So I think if you read them back to back, it would be like almost like a culture shock
But you know what though? See, that's the thing. Everybody writes differently, and everybody perceives. You know, that's the thing about reviews. I mean, you know, we talk about reviews a lot on here. You know, and the thing about reviews is you can get 20 people, and they're all going to see that book as a different way. You know, and so I mean that's just how it is when you're writing. You know, and one of the problems somebody had brought up to me, we were talking about this, and I guess I'm not real competitive, but I think, you know, online, I think that may be a problem for people because they're getting depressed because they're actually thinking that everybody is selling a ton of books, and probably a lot of people aren't selling a ton of books, but writers sometimes feel insecure, and, it's always the next person is better, or, you know, it's like when I was doing my screenplays and then I would read it a year later, I'd go like, oh, that's not bad. But it's hard for us as writers, I think, to say, oh, this is great, because there's always something we think we can do to make it better.
It's just hard to stay in that mindset at all times. Like, writing fantasy is pretty difficult, I think, just as far as all of the just unrealistic elements that go into it and how much you have to make it realistic in that you have to, like, personify everything. It's just it's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
It gets to the point of almost like you are obsessing over this place. You have to be there in order to write about it. It's a work in progress.
Well, yesterday Doreen Taylor, the songwriter and the beautiful voice, she was talking about, you know, that I think what a lot of people are forgetting is that we love to write and we should have fun with it and enjoy it. And once it becomes too competitive with ourselves, and when we're always trying to do something better than the next guy, it's not fun anymore. And that's what's happening, I see.
You have to write something that you, like, I'm not going to write anything that I'm not interested in or I'm not, like, invested in because I want to learn more about this place and I want to go further into the story. But if I'm not interested in it, then, I mean, I'm not writing for me. I'm writing for, like, the reader. I mean, which isn't a bad thing. Writing for the reader is usually the smartest way to go as far as that goes. But it's always paramount to write for yourself because it's just better that way. It's more personal, and honestly, think you get more material out of it that way.
Well, at the end of the day, they do say, and we were talking about this yesterday, as far as writing with your heart, and, I think that when a book, even in a comedy, you know, type of book, when you feel good about something, it comes across to the reader, I think, and that's what, as authors, we like, and, you know, it is hard out there because everybody is judging. You know, I myself, I've been doing this for so many years, and I have so many rejections from screenplays, and, you know, it was a good read, but, it costs a lot of money to make a movie, but I'm still here. And that's one of the things I do, is try to make people just stay in, not make them, but, I mean, hope that they stay in it, because it's hard. But it also is really rewarding, you know, when somebody walks up to you and says, you know, I read your book, and I loved it, and I like this character. I mean, that's like the greatest feeling ever. That's why it's so nice.
I had a friend of mine text me the other day, told me he finished the book, and we talked about the plot for like a solid hour because I was just like, I finally get to talk to someone about it. I was like,
no, it's very interesting to do that. I mean, I think it is. Has anybody? I mean, my regular friends, we don't, you know, but I think when you meet someone that's read your book and then they're asking you about your characters, I mean, to me, it's like I'm so excited that they were actually, because to me it's like a person and they're talking about it. Has that ever happened to anybody when you feel that?
Yeah.
most
it makes
of them.
Me happy to be friends of other writers for this reason, because when you're talking to other writers, you're talking to, you know, to gods about their universes. I mean,
yeah.
Like all of, I mean, and I might have read all of our books here. We're all part of the same, you know, company with Boku. And, you know, one thing that everyone's doing is building a universe. Like,
yeah.
I wrote a young adult story, which it's set up, the second novel in the series is a science fiction romance novel. And the third one's going to be a magical realism story. It's an expansive universe, but it's also up within the one story, and all of our stories are doing that. And, you know, even, like, you know, Rebecca's story is literally a world of color. And, you know, and it's great for all of us to sit here and talk about it. It's, I know
like Rebecca, like when your kids, I mean, wasn't that exciting for you when they are enjoying your book? I mean, you're actually seeing them.
Oh, yes, it was so exciting. And they kept coming up to me and just thanking me and telling me how good it was and wanting to know where they could get their copy. And, oh, yeah, it was very exciting.
Yeah, I think that, I think so, yeah. Yeah, I mean, to me, yes, these are the exciting things. And it isn't always about making $1 million. It's about really enjoying what you do. And sometimes, you know, I get caught up myself, I must say, not because I question myself and then I'm always thinking of a new show to have and something to help people, because basically this is tough. This is not easy. But we all love it. And, you know, that's why we do it. And if it's not only for the money, it should be for something that you really enjoy. You know, and I think that that's one of the things. I do think that probably a lot of people that aren't authors think that authors make a lot of money. That is not really the case. Yeah, I know. You know, and they you know, because people are always thinking that, but we all know that that's, it's so, you know, it's hard. You have to sell a ton of books, a ton.
Yeah.
A ton. And
yeah.
Certainly when books are 99 cents, I mean, you got to sell a lot of books. You know, and there's a lot of authors out there now. Hopefully, in a few years, some of the authors that shouldn't be in it maybe will not be there. And it's very crowded out there. Lynn, I mean, how do you feel about that? Do you feel that, you know, there's so many authors out there?
I completely agree. Completely agree.
Yeah.
There are a lot of new authors coming up out of the woodworks.
Yeah. Do you feel like, you know, are you happy with the, you know, how your career is going, Lynn, now?
With mine?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm loving it. I'm having fun.
We might have a question here, but I hope it's like I think somebody got it off. Wait, let's see what happened here. Hi, it's Marisha. Who's this? Hi.
My name's Garrett. I had a question for Lauren.
Sure. Lauren?
Yeah, what's up? What is up?
Yeah,
I was
wondering what his favorite character is in his story.
My favorite character, it definitely have to be Matthias, because he's one of my favorite. I mean, he's the quintessential antagonist, I guess you could say. But like, I still give that character a reason for the reader to like actually have pity for him. So then you end up actually falling over that character just like you would any other character, even though he is kind of sadistic and his morals are kind of skewed. But yeah. Matthias is by far my favorite character, by far.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much for. Did you want to ask him anything else? Or?
No, I think that's all.
Okay, thank you so much for calling. You know, the chat room
all right,
is
yeah,
also
yeah,
open.
Nice talk to you.
Okay, the chat room is also open. And, okay, maybe I should say, because I think this comes up a lot and I actually have problem getting in it. When you want to listen to one of our shows, I think if you are in, like, say, Facebook or if you have the link, sometimes there's a little arrow. If you click the arrow and you get on to listen to the show, if you scroll down, you should be in the chat room. And it's a big it shows the chat room and people, actually it'll say guest, you know, and the number of, you know, it doesn't say their name unless they want to. So is anybody on there now? Because I know that this is a problem for people, and we have a lot of chat people, and a lot of people do call in. But I think I've been having trouble getting in the chat. So is anybody on the chat right now or can see the chat room?
You have to sign in from Facebook in order for it to be activated. I'll let you know in about 2 seconds.
Yes, you have to, right, because, yeah, I do think that's a problem. Because I have tried to listen to some shows myself and had that. So I, you know, I do, and you also could listen to the show when, you know, if you have the link, you can click it on if you're in the car and you have a, you know, you can, or anywhere, you can, I listen to it a lot on the phone because I actually can get it easier sometimes. I find when I'm on, but when I'm not on, I have trouble getting in other shows sometimes. Not after, but the show is on demand after the show is over, and those links work great. So, you know, you can use the link after the show. Okay, I have links for four years already out there. So, and any, because it's live now, but it's on demand later, and it stays on demand. But I do think it's easier sometimes. We have many more people listening archived because they can get in easier. And even when I send links out, sometimes while the show is on, it's a little difficult. But the links, and on World of Ink Network, you can just go in and our shows are there, and Blog Talk Radio. And you look for World of Ink and you can hear any of our shows. And so that part is a good thing. And, okay, I see people have logged in and they logged out, but there it is out there. You know, I think that's a problem because a lot of people don't know how to get in there. And since I have trouble so many times getting in, I have to call in sometimes to hear the show for other people. Okay, all right. So are we, you know, is so I think that when going to schools is something that we all want to do. Now, is anybody in any book clubs here? Or, I've not been in any, but has anybody been in a book club?
A book club?
Yeah.
I have not, but...
There's some online.
I've been wanting to read it. Among, on my little list is that I want to research both libraries and book clubs for that. So, I mean, I think if there is a young adult online book club there, I would, you know, give an arm to be a part of that because I think that would be just fantastic.
I mean, it's really hard to find them, but we're all looking for readers, and
young adults are. I think it's for independent publishing and for non-Big Six publishing, it's hard to reach the readership sometimes because I think teens don't seek out books and children the way that adults do. So, we're constantly trying to find new ways of getting there. So.
I think the libraries could help more. They really could. And the libraries and the schools,
most libraries have a young adult acquisitions person, which, that's their entire job is to find new young adult literature for people. So that's what I'm going to try for.
Now, Rebecca, what age group is your school? Is it go all the way till high school, or is it just, like, younger or middle?
No, I'm in elementary school. One I'm working in, so I work with kindergarten through fifth grade.
Okay, so then they go to another school after fifth grade.
There's two other schools, yes. Then we have a middle school, and that's 6 through 8, and then our high school is 9 through 12.
Yeah. See, that's where it would be good if they started to really get a lot of this going on in the schools, because I think that then you could get more a readership that, would be much more loyal, because when young adults like an author, they like an author. The same as when they like a movie. They'll see the movie 10 times.
They devour it. They're super loyal and wonderful to their,
So your plan is, I'm sure there are a lot of places. I think, that's one of the things that everybody has trouble with. We all do. And, Boku has marketing, and so they are, which is a good thing. And that's a great thing for a smaller publisher because a lot of them don't have as much marketing. And so I know that they're always looking for places and new things because every 5 minutes something else is coming up new. This is why I end up staying up all night, because I always find something. I try a lot of things because I have to, because I want to be able to tell people some things, because I know, I want people to stay in this, and a lot of people don't stay in this very long. They just get lost out there in the shuffle because it's tough, But I think, the more we all talk about these things and the more social media goes on to different things. I think there will be different things eventually, that will help. There are a lot of groups out there, but like what happens is sometimes the groups dissolve or only a few people are sharing. Because I'm in several groups like that and people aren't sharing. And that when people share, it's so helpful to the author. And even if, it's just as they put it on their page because somebody else will see it. So I think if sharing were, it was bigger than it is now, I noticed that there's not as many shares. Has anybody noticed that? I mean, I don't know how long all of you have been doing this, but for me, like, I've been on Facebook for, like, I don't know, 5 years or whatever, and people used to share so much more. They don't share now.
Yeah,
Facebook has changed the way, you know, the way shares are seen now, too. And in general, it's made it a little bit more difficult to promote yourself on it. But
it's hard.
But this also is the reason why we're all really lucky to be part of, you know, a company and, you know, have, you know, it's, like I said, networking has been pretty much, you know, the only way for smaller writers to get out there.
And it's a great thing. But it's not only small. It's not only for smaller. It's everybody. It's all authors have trouble. I don't care who they are. And I, you know, Fran Lewis has really wonderful shows. She has a lot of New York Best Time Sellers, and they say the same things as we're saying. And you know, it's very interesting. A lot of them do say one thing. If they go to a book signing and there's only 10 people, they're still happy because those 10 people know other people. So I think that, even though you're not getting a turnout at something, anybody, it does, you never know who you're going to meet.
Well,
and who
everyone has the same goal, too. I mean, I try not to worry about, you know, things like sales and,
yep,
and that sort of stuff. Because, honestly, my only intention when I write is for my story to find its audience.
Yeah.
And that's what we're all trying to do. And any kind of success that I or anyone's going to have as a writer is because, you know, if your story can find its audience, then, you know, you're in a relationship with an audience and only good things can come of that.
It's nice to be able to get that audience, you know, and because there's so many people out there, it's really tough, you know, because it just is. And, you know, but I think Amazon is still I'm always putting out links from Amazon because I think that's still the most well-known. There's a lot of them out there, but I think most people know Amazon, but they don't know, like, I've had trouble when I'm on Smashwords, and I don't sell on Smashwords really very well. And some people have been on the show, and they sell terrific on Smashwords. And I don't know do you do good on Smashwords?
No, and I was with Hellfire before Boku, and my books were available on Smashwords and Amazon, and I did not sell one single book on Smashwords. Everything went through Amazon.
I mean, isn't that weird, though? I mean, I find that so weird because I have so many people that come on here, and they love it, and they do wonderfully, and I find that, you know, it doesn't work for me. And on certain, actually, I shouldn't say that. I do have a Holocaust book. That book sells, you know, on Apple and all of the other things, pretty good, but my other books do not. They really don't. You know, I just don't know. And I do know people that sell very well, and I don't really know. And it should have worked out better than I think. But there must be a reason that they're still around because I think they're trying to get more people to. But I have sent books which I didn't know early on that people, when they go in Smashwords, they don't actually know how to go in there, so they just don't even bother. So if you send a gift on Smashwords, did you notice that, Lynn? Did you ever do that? That they don't even know how to go in it?
No one ever. I had
because
I first tried to use it, but
did you have trouble using it?
I was actually gifted a book on Smashwords. That was like my first time ever using it, and I was just clueless as to.
That's what happened. So I didn't realize that I had sent people, and I'm going like, I wonder what happened here, and they couldn't even get in. I didn't know that. You know, I had no idea. And so I think that, you see, it's just little things that people don't know. You know, that's why I do try a lot of things and we talk about a lot of things because, you know, I think that, you know, I think sometimes if people just think they're the only ones and they're not, you know, and that's why I try to bring up things and I try to try things with reviews and with a lot of different things, some work. And I do think the inexpensive Facebook ads are pretty good. I don't know if you. I don't think people sell as much, but the word gets out there about your book because they have an audience. That's what happened here, because that's what they want, and it does work better. Has anybody tried those?
Yeah, I actually did a test run on my page for a weekend, and then my book ad for like another weekend. And
did you like it?
I got a lot of views.
Well, okay, that's what it's supposed to, right. Well, see, that's the thing. You know, that's the other thing, you know, because I think people, like even when you're on a radio show, it's really good exposure, and the link goes up and it gets higher, especially like on this show. We've had I've done so many shows, like 500 shows, so, you know, the rating goes up, 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 but selling books is different. It doesn't always mean that people are buying books. But you're getting people to know who you are, and I think that's, you're branding yourself, and it does take a long time for that. It's not, you know, and that's what happens. People don't stay in it. They want to leave because they don't think it's working, and it just takes time. You know, I've heard people say that sometimes after their sixth book, they did really well. If you can sustain.
That's never supposed to be in my series. I plan on having six books in the children's series.
You're going to have six?
Yeah. Six. Six in the series.
Do you have it planned out already? You have it all mapped out?
Yep, I got every title.
That's good. Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, I was never one for planning, but I do think with the marketing, and I think that sometimes you have to do this. Do you know what I mean? The marketing is very hard, and we all have to do it. And we're all writing, so it's hard. But, you know, it's worth it to get, you know, to brand yourself, but there's so much out there, it really is difficult to figure out what is good. But I'm working on that, and, you know, we try that a lot. I do think that, you know, some people don't even want to be on Facebook, and you almost have to be just to see what's going on.
Yep.
Because you miss a lot of things if you're not on Facebook. It really sounds ridiculous, but it's true. You miss a lot of things that, you know, events and things that you could be on and go to. And I think those joining groups. Which one?
Facebook is, I'm saying, in addition to being, you know, still somewhat viable for, like, marketing and promotion, Facebook is just a great networking tool. And it's still one of the best ways for you to be in contact with other writers, other people, who, you know, working in the industry. And when you do have readers, it's a great way to stay in touch with them and for them to contact you. It's a direct line to things.
Yeah, and I do think readers now, it is nice that they can, you know, really, readers don't really care how many books you sell. If they like you, they don't want your the figures. They just want you to write. And they, you know, they want to read people that they like, and you know, and they will keep reading your books. You know, they're loyal. And certainly they can communicate now because of blogs and things where they can contact people. And I think that's really good. It wasn't like that years ago. And I do think with all the small publishers that are out there, I do think it's great because I think it's keeping people in the game. And I think years ago people gave up so fast because even if I was an agent for all these years and no matter what, I had great books. I couldn't get them done. The people, they just, you know, these publishing houses, they don't take a lot of new people, no matter what they say. And they're not that nice to new authors. And that's really sad because we need always new authors. So I think that because of the smaller publishers, so many people are having careers now in writing. And I think that's fabulous. It wasn't like that. Everybody gave up, you know, and I saw, so for me, I think that, you know, when you have, like, in Boku, when she's taking submissions from all genres, this is really good. I think it's a really smart move not to cut yourself off and just take one genre.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty good roster. It's daunting because a lot has come out. And I think I'm eventually going to get through most of the roster, but so far I've been very happy with everything I've read.
Yeah,
I mean, it's nice to see, like, a company putting out so many good titles and so many different genres.
I think it is. I think that's really good because, you know, if somebody writes erotic, they have children, so there could be children's books. I think it's so much better when you have a well-rounded publishing house rather than just one type because you're limiting yourself. You know, and with Boku, there's no limit because she's got everything going on. And I think that's really, it's brave, for sure. And, you know, I think it is. It's a very brave thing to do. And, you know, because there are a lot of people, which on my show, I've had a lot of erotic writers and I've had a lot of horror writers. And there's so many people that go like, oh, I can't read a horror writer, I can't read an erotic writer, and it really isn't any different than another book. They just have to get used to, you know, reading a book, and just because it's classified as horror doesn't mean it's everything in it is not, you know, it's all splashing. Yeah.
I fully agree with that because my first novel is very straightforward young adult, and it's a nice, short, straightforward story, but it sets up a pretty wild, you know, time travel based science fiction story in the second book. And
well, that's good though. That's an interesting concept.
And you know, and I'm not afraid to write in different genres. It's clearly the same writer, the same tone, you know. And I like the fact that it goes from another, but just to make sure, of course, I was worried at first. I'm like, all right, it's a little bit crazy to completely change genres almost, even if you're using some of the same characters. So all my beta readers that I had were all people who had read my first book and had never read a sci-fi novel in their life. And
that's really good.
And seven of them read it, and they all, they all really enjoyed it, and they didn't think it was too crazy to go from one to the other, and it made sense. They said they made sense. I hope they were telling the truth, but...
No, but that's a really good idea to get people involved in another genre because that's what happens because I before I did shows, which is 4 years ago, I did not know any erotic writers at all or romance writers. I really didn't. And because I wrote screenplays and dramas and children's books and, you know, I do a lot of different, even in screenplays, I said I'd never do a horror, and I did a horror screenplay. So, I mean, I do switch over in genres, and I do think that idea for you to do is good if people like the character and you're moving them into something that they weren't familiar with. This is very good. This is really good.
I think there's nothing wrong with challenging your readers, too, so.
Right. Yeah. And that's good that they're liking it. So, you know, I mean,
you need to let the readers know everything.
I agree.
Always nothing held back. Uh-huh.
I think that's a good thing because, I think readers like that. I think they want to feel that the author is interested in what they're liking.
Yeah.
If the reader knows everything about everything at the beginning of the book, I mean, I've never liked to been able to predict a plot of anything I've watched because it just kind of takes away from the story itself.
Yeah.
I've never liked to be able to predict because then it's just, like, boring the rest of the movie.
Well, it's not as much fun, right. You know, like when someone comes up to me and they go, oh, I like what you did in that, you know, because I wasn't expecting that. And that's, I like to be surprised, too, you know, when I'm writing.
Right.
And so I think if I'm surprised, I won't be setting up anything.
Yeah, and then at that point you get more invested anyway because you were surprised. You're like, oh, wow.
Love when that happens. Surprised myself when I'm going like, wow, how did that happen? You know, because there's always a part when we don't know that what's going to come next and all of a sudden comes to us and
right.
we go like, oh, that's it, yay.
It's
you
just
know,
that,
and then,
that guessing game just back and forth between your head because you're just like, what's going to happen? I don't know what's going to happen. And then it happens and you're just like, okay, I got to keep reading because now I really don't even know what just happened. And you just keep going.
Well, yeah, because you want them to do that. That's exciting, I think.
Oh, yeah.
So this is, you know, so I hope that every, you know, this is a good thing, and I hope that you all continue to write, and I think that you've got a lot of different points here that are good, you know, of, you know, mixing. And I think that's a good idea. I really do. That's a very interesting idea. And Lynn, I'm going to use the thing where other people read for other people because I do think that's kind of interesting. We had that on the show only because somebody was sick, though. But, I mean, in general, I think that, If the author probably would like to hear how their work sounds.
I would love to hear someone read mine sometime. I think that would be awesome.
Well, okay. Lynn, after I take some medicine, I'll be glad to read some Blood of the Holies. I want to read the twins out loud.
I have your book right here. That's the one I'm reading right now.
I think that's a good thing.
I can't.
All right, I think we're going to end the show soon, but I will say that before we go, I'm going to let everybody say their websites one more time, and you can find all of this on World of Ink Network and www.worldofinknetwork.com and www.michiganavenuemedia.com, which is my site, along with everything else. I do change a lot, so I think that I've been using Michigan Avenue a lot because I change stories, I change titles, I change covers, Some people don't. I just do, and I guess I can be a little confusing, but I have fun doing it while I'm doing it, so I guess that's the way it goes, right? We all have our own things here. All right. Okay. Aurora, you want to just give your website?
I have no idea what my website is.
Okay, fine.
I know I'm on Facebook as Aurora Zani, and I also have a Boku site.
Right, everybody can go on Boku, but right, Boku has their own site too, so it's Boku LLC Publishing, isn't it, .com? Or,
yeah, get it? That also has links to my Facebook pages and my Amazon page as well.
Oh,
Lauren?
Yeah, mine too.
Okay.
Yeah, all of ours are, yeah.
All right, good. Mine will be there soon. That's fine. Okay, I have too many. I have like 8 pages of Facebook. I have way too much, so I know I have to. I keep saying I'm going to cut down, and now I'm put another page. So I don't know what to say about me. What can I say? All right, Rebecca.
Do you want Rebecca to say? Lindsay.
Mm-hmm.
And Lindsay spelled Lyndsey. BokuLLC.com, and you can find me on Facebook and Twitter.
Okay, and Lynn, we got you at. You're at Boku, too. You have an LLC, yeah.
Yeah, Boku. It's LynnCroft.BokuLLC.com. You can also find me on Facebook, LynnCroft3, I believe is the handle for the end. I'm on Twitter, LynnCroft27, and you can find me on Google and Pinterest. I'm everywhere.
So, yeah, Pinterest is a thing that everybody should check out because it is a very good marketing tool, and I think it's getting stronger and stronger.
Yeah.
I think there was a link to it on Boku because that's where I saw it, but I have heard Melanie before. But if I get the link, then I'll see. Sometimes she sends out the link. So then, you know, it's really interesting. It's a great marketing tool. Okay, thank you all for being on. It's been a lot of fun, and you're all welcome on again, and we'll maybe read each other's stories. That would be interesting.
All righty, righty. Good night.
Yeah, good night, everybody.
Good night.
And thank you all for coming on. Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye.